T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Matt Miller of Bleacher Report. Matt, you want to talk about Condoleezza Rice? You want to talk about the Buckeyes' pathetic defense? So what should we get into here? What do you think? What's the bigger
story? Fires, I don't know. Whatever you guys want. I'm versatile.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's begin with in college, because I know you guys are doing a Bleacher Report tailgate on Saturday for the big game. Is there any reason besides the fact that it's at home and the Buckeyes have dominated this rivalry to pick Ohio State to win the game?
No, I think that's a lot of it, right? Is you could go back to, you know, tradition and trends and what has worked for Ohio State in the past. I think, you know, one thing that you could look at as a Buckeye fan that would be encouraging is how Michigan struggled week one with a quarterback that can run, with fast running backs. If Mike Weber's back, that's going to be a huge part of the game, and it sounds like he will be. So I think that attack that Notre Dame came out with in week one, Ohio State can replicate some of that with Dobbins and Weber. And if we – like Haskins, I know he's not a burner, but he's mobile enough that I think you could utilize that part of his game that would hopefully open things up for the downfield passing attack. But Michigan's got two very good corners. The best news for Ohio State might be that if Chase Winovich isn't able to go, that's going to help a lot, because you mentioned the defense hasn't looked good. Obviously, the Ohio State offensive line has also been really disappointing. So just depending on how that breaks, if Winovich can't go, that's a little bit of good news for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's the heart and soul of that Michigan defense. Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, is our guest. Matt, I keep thinking that Ohio State's going to snap out of it every single week. I thought this would be the week, right? You know, with all the stuff that came out with the McMurphy report earlier in the week and the players coming to defend that. And I thought they'd rally. I thought they'd say, you know what, this is a bunch of BS. Everyone's talking junk on us. And they say we can't do this, that, and the other. And then they come out and lay another egg. Like I just don't know what to expect. I have no reason to think that Ohio State can win this football game other than the fact that it's a rivalry game and they've owned Michigan for the better part of the last 15 years.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and you can speak to this, I think, really well, is that I don't know who the leader is at Ohio State this year. Like, in years past, they would have galvanized around the McMurphy report and all the BS that's coming out there and been like, there would have been someone. And maybe that guy was supposed to be Nick Bosa, and him not being there is what's hurt this team. But there's got to be somebody who would step up and say, all right, guys, like, listen, this is what we have to do. And, I would always heard it was Billy Price, and before that it was Heuermann, and those were the types of guys that would. They would pull the locker room together and get everyone focused. I don't know that that guy exists this year. Some of that you can say is just attrition with people going to the NFL early, but who's the leader of this team? Who is going to step up? And it might be too late to find that out. But I thought the same thing, because we had seen that earlier in the year where, like, maybe this is the week that all the noise gets to him. And maybe this is when it's going to be too much with Zach Smith all over Twitter. And I think you could say maybe that's the reason they came out a little flat. But, geez, I just expected such a better showing from them. And I say that as a Texas fan who watched Maryland kick the crap out of us in week one. Like, I know that team's capable of playing well, but they're not as good as they looked on Saturday, that's for sure.
Matt Miller of Bleacher Report is with us. Matt, between the way they played against Maryland and you know, the end of that game, if the Maryland quarterback makes a good throw, that's an easy two-point conversion. That receiver was open. If between that game and the Purdue game and even Nebraska, where they played poorly, even if Ohio State wins out, are you sure they're going to the college football playoffs? Or no?
I mean, if they win out, they should. I mean, if you beat number 4 Michigan, you should be in there. I think the only thing that could maybe twist that is if there's, just people fall in love with Georgia. But, I mean, I would expect we're going to see Georgia be a 2-loss team after the SEC championship game. So I really do believe that whoever wins this game is going to be in there. And
over Oklahoma, if they win out?
Ohio State would have two better wins than Oklahoma with Penn State and Michigan.
I think so, too. And I think you look at Oklahoma's losses. I mean, yeah, losing to Texas, who's probably, ranked 11 right now, might get up to the top 10. I would think Ohio State would be up there because of their quality wins. I mean, you beat Penn State, that definitely helps. And if you beat Michigan, and, like, that's the signature win. And it doesn't hurt that you're in the Big Ten. Like, there's just everyone understands the Big Ten is better than the Big 12. So I think that also plays into it as well. And we'll see with the Big Ten championship what that's going to look like and how that would go. But with that one loss almost just being a fluke game against Purdue, I would still think that Ohio State gets in there.
Yeah, I agree. The more I thought about it, you know, thinking about
going to be ranked 10th in the college football playoff, aren't they?
Yeah, probably, but they're going to jump. They're going to jump LSU. They're going to jump Georgia when they lose, and they'll be in. I mean, that win over Michigan would be huge. And again, if Oklahoma beats West Virginia, that's their only win. That's their only really quality win this season. And Ohio State would have
they would beat West Virginia twice.
If they beat West Virginia twice, but again, West Virginia drops after you beat them, so it's not a quality win. It still wouldn't be as good as Ohio State's two wins over Penn State and Michigan.
Right now, West Virginia is ranked higher than Penn State, though.
West Virginia's 9 right now, which is
Penn State drops, though.
And I think that's the thing. Like, with it could be an Oklahoma Texas Big 12 championship game, and like, so even if you get the win there, like beating a 10th or 11th ranked Texas is not as good as beating a number 4 ranked Michigan. I am incredibly biased toward Oklahoma. I try to put that away when I'm a college football analyst, but I just don't see the quality of schedule there. I think to be in the Big 12 champ, you got to really run the table. And really, I mean, if you're the Big 10 champion, if Ohio State's a Big 10 champ, they should be in the playoff. Like that's why this playoff exists. And maybe this is the year where if Oklahoma and Ohio State don't both make it, we can finally get to 8 teams as it should be.
Yes,
but I think Ohio State just has the better argument right now.
All right, we're talking with Matt Miller, Bleach Report. Matt, I know you had a story Friday about Dwayne Haskins leaving after this year. Is that set in stone, or is there still a possibility he'd come back?
Still a possibility he could come back. I had actually reported, like, or not reported, but I wrote like a week before that. I was like, hey, I'm not going to rank Dwayne Haskins because a source with the school told me he's probably coming back. So, you know, okay, well, let's just worry about it in January at the deadline. And when I wrote that, I had no less than 10 people reach out and be like, someone's lying to you. This kid, he's going to leave as long as he doesn't get hurt, as long as he plays well throughout the rest of the season. But this is could be a historically weak quarterback class. And when you look at next year, do you want to compete with Tua and Jake Fromm and Justin Herbert and Eason and all these other quarterbacks? Or do you want to come out this year and maybe be the only guy that there's a lot of excitement around? Like there's Daniel Jones at Duke. Shea Patterson at Michigan's another guy I've heard that there's a good chance he comes out, but you really don't want to be in next year. You don't want to be in the 2020 quarterback class if you can be in the 2019. There's a lot of teams that are going to have a need up there, like the New York Giants, that could really force their hand and make them draft someone a little bit earlier than they should be. And I think Haskins sees himself as a guy who fits that role of big, strong-arm quarterback. He's athletic. I think the biggest question will be, and I truly don't know the answer to this, is how well does he perform on the whiteboard? What do his teammates think of him? What's he like as a leader? Those are the things that from January to April can really affect your draft stock. And in season, it's hard for guys like me to get that type of information. So it could be really interesting. He could be the first quarterback off the board, or he could be a second-round pick. It really, a lot of it will be hinge on that fact right there.
Matt Miller of the Bleacher Report is our guest. Matt, I want to ask you this since we have you. We've been talking not about drafting quarterbacks for the Browns, but we've been talking about other position groups, including wide receiver, who I think the Browns should go after a wide receiver in the first round. Can you give us a couple names, Matt, to keep an eye on here as we finish up the college football season, guys that could be first-round picks?
Yeah, it's not a great year for receivers, man. It's unfortunate. It might be a year to pay one, a free agency, if you can find one. But I think N'Keal Harry at Arizona State's an interesting guy. Very good with the ball in his hands after the catch. He has size. Kelvin Harmon at NC State is another like long-armed wide receiver who I think there'll be some questions about speed with him. So these are guys that you would normally consider like late first-round picks. The same with A.J. Brown at Ole Miss, Marquise Brown at Oklahoma, who's a little bit undersized, and you worry about the scheme coming out there. Those are the top players. I think the most intriguing guy, probably Hakeem Butler at Iowa State, or maybe Colin Johnson at Texas. Two guys who are both long. They're able to make plays above the turf. They can stretch the field. With Johnson at Texas, he's been a little banged up. Last year, he was in the doghouse for them and really didn't break out until this year. But he's been unstoppable when he's healthy. You just, I think, worry a little bit about how long he can stay on the field.
Matt, I know it seems like in the draft, there's a lot of guys in the top half of the first round, a lot of defensive players or offensive linemen, a lot less skill position guys. The Browns could also, you know, we've been talking about tackle. That's a big issue that they have on both ends of the line. If you know, if the Browns are drafting somewhere between, you know, maybe 8 and 12, is there a standout offensive tackle that makes sense in that spot?
No, you guys unfortunately keep listing all these positions that are weak this year.
Not good.
Like Jonah Williams at Alabama is a very good player. I mean, he's been a three-year starter at Bama. He, as a true freshman, he started at right tackle for them. I like his film a lot, but you're already hearing from scouts like, man, that guy's just not very big. And we've heard that before with tackles, and they either they get pushed inside to guard or they fall in the draft. And I think that's going to be the biggest question now is people just wonder, is this dude big enough to hold up and play the left tackle spot? You watch his film, he's beautiful. I mean, he's technically sound. He's athletic. He's 6'5", about 305. So he's not the biggest guy in the world, but his technique is very, very clean. And if you could start at Alabama for 3 years, you got to be pretty dang good at football. So I think he's an intriguing guy, but it's, you know, there's not those guys like last year with Mike McGlinchey where you knew he was going to be a top 15 pick. And there's not a Laremy Tunsil. There's not a Ronnie Stanley. There's not a Jake Matthews. This is a year where it's really, really weak at offensive tackle. The only thing that might change that is if we get a couple underclassmen to come out who you would take earlier based on athleticism, but just on pure film, there aren't very many guys to fall in love with.
Matt Miller of the Bleach Report's our guest. Matt, based off what you've seen from Baker Mayfield this year, do you think we have our franchise quarterback?
I do, man. I really do. Not just on the field, but off it. You know, in terms of leadership, the tone that he has set for the franchise, I think is super important. And I'm excited to see what Baker can do with a healthy wide receiver core and an improved offensive line in some spots. But then most importantly, with an offensive coordinator and a head coach that deserve to be there. I felt all along that Baker deserves so much better than what he got out of the jump. And he still has played very well. So it's exciting to see the potential that he has. And hopefully the Haslams and John Dorsey get someone in there who knows what they're doing and can put an offense in place that will help Baker. I think the bad news is there's not that slam dunk head coaching candidate out there. There's not a Sean McVay or Matt Nagy. There's not a Kyle Shanahan. Like, offensively, at least, there's not the guy that everybody's raving about to you know, let's bring this guy's offense to Baker and let him roll. You don't really get that feeling. So I think we're all going to be waiting to see who gets fired and who might, you know, jump up from the college ranks.
Yeah, I think, you know, I trust John Dorsey to do it as long as the Haslams stay out of the way. And the good news is, as you mentioned, Matt, they have their quarterback. They have a cornerstone cornerback and pass rusher. They need that tackle. They got a great backfield. There's a lot to be excited about for the future of this team for the first time in a long time. Now they need the coach to put it all together.
Yeah, and I honestly think I wouldn't have said this a year ago, guys, but this is going to help free agency. Like Baker Mayfield is going to help you recruit free agents. I would put a lot of money on that fact that whereas before, you know, whether it's you try to get a Tony Jefferson or whatever, and you have to overpay because you're the Browns, those days are ending. They really are. I think with what Dorsey and those guys have put in place, if they can just get the head coach right, then everything's going to come together quickly because you have the quarterback, you got the pass rusher, you have a great young corner, and you have really solid pieces at linebacker and safety. And there's a lot going well there. It's just about getting the right guy to put it all together.
Let's wrap it up with this, Matt. Here's my theory. I don't say conspiracy theory because that's stupid, but my path to the playoff for UCF. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. If this happens, do they get in? All right. Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame all win out, which means and Ohio State wins. Beats Michigan, but loses to Northwestern. I know it's extremely unlikely, but you never know. Washington State loses at least one more game. Oklahoma beats West Virginia and then loses to West Virginia in the Big 12 championship game. And UCF wins out. Would they get in that unlikely scenario?
They would have to get in and then get beat by Alabama by like 80 points.
Come on, so they wouldn't lose by 80.
They would be in there for a day.
Come on.
They would probably lose by 50.
Really, by 50?
Are they going to run the triple option like the Citadel did and try to just, you know, keep the ball out of Tua's hands? Man, I don't think UCF could beat Bama's backups. Let's be real. I really don't.
Could anybody else beat Bama's backups?
We'll see. Maybe Clemson. Not very many people could, that's for sure.
Matt, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us.
You bet, guys. Good talking to you.
Matt Miller.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.